John chapter 15 and verse 14, we read these words. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. We are looking at the relationship between the Christian and his Lord. The idea of being slaves, being a complete possession, the servant who gives unswerving loyalty and loyal service, and last week, disciple who is identified with his Lord and follows him. But now we come to what I might call a deepening in that relationship. As it were, a big step forward that Jesus makes with his disciples on this occasion just before his death. Ye are my friends. And you'll notice that it is something that rests upon obedience. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. And this is in the going on sense that if you are continually obeying, then you are continually my friend. And surely this means that we're coming progressively deeper and nearer to our Lord as we think of this. It's rather significant that this particular way in which our Lord is speaking to the disciples is in the closing moments or closing hours of his life. For you remember that in John's Gospel you have the Passover meal, you have the washing of the disciples' feet, and then you have these chapters 14, 15, and 16 taken up with the intimate conversation that he had with them, and then the great high priestly prayer of chapter 17 leading on to the Garden of Gethsemane. So in a sense we are treading on hallowed ground when we look at these chapters in John's Gospel. And we have been seeing that we are servants and disciples, and this must always come before the idea of being friends. This sort of new category that obedience brings us into an intimate relationship. Now, of course, we need to just to stress this in the outset, for Jesus lays down here a condition of friendship. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. That's the terms. In other words, as we go on in our Christian lives, as we go on increasingly obeying our Lord, increasingly carrying out his commands, so increasingly we come into this wonderful fact that we are friends with him. Now, if we're just low-level Christians, we shall never attain to this. For God doesn't show his secrets to those who are superficial in their following of Christ. In some senses, our Lord withholds privileges because we're not prepared to take them. And the privileges are such as are indicated with this relationship of friends. First of all, I want to look at this new bond, as it were, that is between us. A new one only in the sense of our experiencing of it. Because as you realize that we receive all the blessings in Jesus Christ, as we believe, but that we enter into them as we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is why now we have this motto for this year. Why in these earlier months we are looking at this developing of growing in grace. God wants us to have the best. And too often he's not able to give us the best because we're not prepared to take it. So then this relationship, and it's very significant that Jesus puts this idea of ye are my friends in the context of this particular chapter. I've just already sketched what it is. The ending of his life. the intimacy of the upper room, as it were. The time after the last Passover. And he's speaking here in this chapter to the 11, for Judas has already gone out into the night to betray the Lord. These men, these 11, have followed him during his life. He has spoken to them as servants, and they have been obedient. He sent them out, as you remember, on the preaching tour, sending them out as servants, as well as his disciples. But now he comes to the sacred moment. Ye are my friends. You'll notice in verse 15 it goes on to say that this is a step forward from a previous concept. Henceforth, that is, from now on, I call you not servants. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. And as we are here looking, as it were, into the heart of our Lord, we see that he is now transferring the motive for their service from that of being a servant, where you have to do it because you are commanded to do it, to that of being a friend, where you serve him because of the compulsion of love within. What a difference this makes. What a great joy it is to realize that when we serve the Lord, we do so because we love him. Not because we must. Not because we're driven to it. Except by this compulsive power of love. That's what makes the Christian life a life of service, one which pours itself out sacrificially. You remember that when our Lord was speaking about the servant relationship, he says, when you've done everything that you are supposed to do as a servant, then you must say, we are unprofitable servants. We've done that which was our duty to do. We've just fulfilled the letter of the law. But when you come into the relationship of friends, you enter into the overplus of love service, where you can't help but give and give yourselves. Now, of course, we must realize that right at the very beginning, that there isn't much expected in the bond between the master and the servant, or between the master and the disciple. But if we have friends on our own human level, there is expected, of course, that there should be a deepening tie than mere acquaintance, the new bond. And what our Lord is talking about here, about his disciples and himself, is that here is a bond that will remain with them through the time of his death and through his resurrection and on through, that will go on into eternity, a bond that will be stronger than any servant, any servitude that they might have imagined. And how necessary this was in view of what was about to happen. Because you see, our Lord was going away. And merely to be left as his disciples, without the master at their head, or to be left as servants with nobody to give instructions, it was necessary that in this new part of his life and the passing from his incarnation back to the heavenlies, there was now to be a spiritual heart tie between himself and his own beloved ones. And in the short hours that were to elapse between when he says this and when he's arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's going to show them one or two things that he could only show to them as friends. So there's this new relationship. I wonder whether we have really experienced this. We've just sung a hymn which expresses this, of course, in some measure. We need to express it, experience it, as it were, beyond the idea of just the hymn brings, in our daily experience, in a daily walking with the Lord. Which brings me, secondly, to say this, that this new relationship that we enter into, or enter into newly, means that there must be a similarity of interest. Way back in the Old Testament, the prophet Amos says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, of course, in human friendship, this is precisely what does happen. People come together because there is a similarity of interest. It might be any kind. It may be an interest in some sport. Maybe it's some interest in some recreation. It may be some interest in intellectual exercise of reading and things like this. It may be in the realm of music. It might be anything that people come together, and there is forged a friendship because of a mutual attraction, a similar interest common to both. And you see, our Lord brings just this. "Ye are my friends. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." And our Lord is saying to these people that they should be doing the kind of things that interest him, that they should be seeking the Father's interests, they should be seeking the affairs of the kingdom, they shall be interested in the world of mankind round about. Christ says, we are both interested in the same things. Therefore we're friends. Therefore we can be friends. Therefore we can, as it were, drive towards the same aim. We Christians need to ask ourselves whether the intimacy of our relationship with Christ is marred because we're not really interested in the things that he's interested in. Whether we're interested in the affairs of a world that needs redeeming. Whether we're interested in the things concerning the propagation and the spread of his kingdom. Whether we've got this concern that he has, this interest, is that men and women might come into spiritual life and develop in spiritual life. And go on to know God in a fuller measure. How much are we sharing the interests of the Lord Jesus Christ? Ye are my friends. And friends get together, you see, not only just because they have similar interests, but because they like being together. And they do so as often as they can. You know how friendship can easily break down by neglect. You haven't seen a friend for many, many years. And consequently, that friendship hasn't been growing. And so easily it can fall apart and deteriorate. But if we maintain it, if we foster it, if you like, if we practice it, then that fellowship will deepen as the years go by. And as we go on with the friendship, we realize, or do we not, how that we know one another. Friends sometimes don't need to say much because the similar interests, each knows what the other is concerned about. And we need constantly to pull ourselves up on this as to how far we are concerned with the same things as our Lord Jesus Christ is concerned about. He was, of course, above everything else, concerned to glorify the Father. He was concerned about the working out of the will of God. He was concerned that there should be a life lived that was in conformity to God's will. And you see, this is what we need to be. Ye are my friends. Very well, says our Lord, your life must be one which, with me, aims to glorify God. It must be one which seeks to discover the will of God, so that we can walk the pathway of obedience to the will of God in company one with another. I've already mentioned some of the other things of his interest. His interest in the salvation of men from sin. And his his interest in shunning sin. We've seen before in this series. Similarity of interest. Which brings us finally to see that the friend, with the friend, there is the intimacy of conversation. Verse 15, you'll notice, and I read it again, henceforth, I call you not servants. They have been servants. They have been obedient. They have been disciples. They have been following him, literally about Galilee. But from now on, he says, I'm not going to call you servants anymore, because the servant is in ignorance of what his Lord does. His Lord doesn't discuss the plans with the servant. He doesn't tell him what he anticipates doing. He doesn't say why he is engaged on a certain course. He tells the servant, and the servant carries it out. Remember that famous passage to which we referred of the centurion. And the centurion who said, I say to my servant, do this, and he does it, go there, and he goes. And there's no question about it. There's no discussion of the pros and cons. He is under obedience, and he does it. Now, says our Lord, you've been in this category of servants. But now we're moving on. And because we are friends, there must be this conversation between us. I'm able to tell you things that I wasn't able to tell you before. I can take you, as it were, behind the scenes of my command and my ways, my will, which I wasn't able to do before because of the relationship you had. Now, of course, all this is not known by the unbeliever. The unbeliever, the person who is a sinner, unsaved, can't know friendship with Christ. Because there's no similarity of interest. There is no bridge between the two. There's no sharing of the conversation. But we Christians are those who are able to talk to the Lord about things. And he's able to speak to us, to reveal things.